You know, the news just seems to be getting worse and worse. And have you been, I don't know about you, maybe I'm just begging for the torture, I guess you'll say. I get text alerts with breaking news. The news here lately is just, you know, you're going, what in the world? So, this morning I got a text message. It said, a Waffle House, 4 dead, many wounded. Somebody went into a Waffle House, shot 2 people outside, went in, shot 2 more, or actually killed 2 more, and shot a few others at 3 a.m. in the morning in Nashville. In the way of leaving, he dropped his coat and ran away nude. It's, you know, and I keep thinking, they're going to take the guns. You know, because it just keeps happening. Now, where you stand on that, I really don't care right now. The thing is, it seems like things have got worse. Now, I do understand that news gets to us a lot faster. I mean, there was a time where news didn't get to a place a month later, you know. But still, it just seems like there's more of it and more senseless stuff. And it makes me start to wonder, how much longer, Lord? How much longer? You're open to Revelation. We're going to be in Revelation chapter 6. Now, I mentioned we're going to be studying through Revelation for a few Sundays. And sometimes we're going to go through a lot of chapters at once. And other times we're just going to kind of get bogged down a little bit. But there's so much in Revelation. And don't ever believe the lie, the fear, that if you read Revelation, it's going to be too much for you to understand. Because if anything, Revelation is a self-describing, self-interpreting book. It gives you a symbol, and most likely thereafter, it tells you what the symbol means. And so that's where we're at here. Now, just a recap over the last 2 Sundays. Chapters 1 through 3 talk about the church. And it was talking about 7 churches. And in many ways, it's church of the past and church of the present. And then beginning in chapter 4, there's a shift. Now, I believe that shift between chapter 3 and chapter 4 is where the church is raptured away. Now, it doesn't specifically say that, but is alluding to this. The church is mentioned in those first 3 chapters. It's all about the church. And then the church is no longer mentioned until chapter 19. There's where the church go. Well, John is on earth and is talking about the church. And then at beginning chapter 4, he is took up to heaven and he is seeing what's going on in heaven. And guess where the church is? There in heaven in chapter 4. And then it talks about the things that is happening on this world. Now, without bogging too much time there, we talked about the first 4 seals last Sunday morning. Now, the seals, if you read Revelation, there are 7 seals. Seal, not barking seals, not animal seals, but seals on a scroll. Now, many people, you know, get the image, well, it's a sealed document. And so there's 7 seals across the front. But no, that's not really what it is. See, a scroll rolls out, right? You roll it out. And so Jesus breaks the first seal, and it rolls out up to the second seal. And then that first seal to the second seal tells you what happens. And then he breaks the second seal and it goes. So we went through the first 4 seals. The first seal was the emergence of the Antichrist. Now, yes, the Antichrist is against Christ, right? But it means more than that. It means the opposite or the counterfeit of Christ. The devil doesn't have an original thought of his own. He is always trying to make a counterfeit of what Jesus is doing. And we see that during the tribulation. The second seal is where war breaks out between all mankind and murder will exponentially increase. The third seal is famine will take over the land due to war. The poor and the middle class will suffer the most and the rich, and that's the symbol of the oil and wine not to be harmed, they won't suffer that much to begin with. But anytime there's war and then there's famine, inevitably what follows it? Death. And so the fourth seal is death and pestilence, a plague over a fourth of the earth. Now, if you were to think about a fourth of the population of the earth will die during this plague, What is that in real numbers? Well, if Jesus was to come and take his church away right now, the population of the earth is at roughly 7.6 billion people. Now, what would a fourth of those people dine? What would that be? What would be 1,900,000 people? Folks, that's a lot of death. And that's a lot of death pretty quickly, too. And so, those are the first four seals. But now, we're going into the fifth seal. And without reading the whole thing, let me just give you a synopsis of what it is. The fifth seal is the cry of the martyrs. And is in that same chapter, in chapter 5. It is the cry of the martyrs. And so, actually, is it chapter 5? No, actually, chapter 6. And so, it's the cry of the martyrs. Is what is going on here? Well, Satan will go after God's Christian believers who come to him during the tribulation. He's not coming after the church. The church has gone up into heaven. He's coming after those who get saved after the tribulation. Some people have said that they don't believe that anybody will be saved once the tribulation begins. But no, that's not what Scripture says. Read it. In fact, we will see it here in a little bit. There will be those who come to faith in Jesus Christ, and those people will bear the wrath of Satan. And they will see the wrath of God upon this earth. They will live through those first four seals. They will see what's going on. And yet, the worst of it to them is where Satan comes after them for their faith. And they will be crushed. The Bible says that power will be given unto the beast to even crush those who believe. And so, we see up in heaven these who come forth out of the tribulation. And so that's we jump in at the sixth seal, and that's Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. And the Scripture says this: I looked when he, that being Jesus, opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell on the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Now, every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And that is one earthquake, is it not? And it's not just a localized shaking. It is a worldwide shake. And not only a massive earthquake like that, but also I imagine due to the smoke and the devastation, the sun will be darkened. It will become black. And then on top of that, there will be stars that will fall out of heaven. It doesn't take much thinking about what that would be like. You know, it was just a few, I'm thinking it was just a couple of years ago, there was a, you can call it a star, it was a meteorite that came and crashed in Russia. And there's pictures of it. You can look at it where that came through and just lit up the sky. And it made a humongous impact on the earth. You know, there's going to be many of those that will come down. All the earth and its inhabitants will face the wrath of God. There have been powerful earthquakes before. Recently, Mexico City in Mexico endured an earthquake that was 7.1 on the scale, in which 370 people died and over 6,000 were injured. In 1960, the Valdivia earthquake. It was the strongest earthquake ever recorded. It was a 9.6 with approximately 20 minutes of shaking, nonstop shaking, and with 1,000 or more deaths. The figures aren't that good. It was between 1,000 and 7,000. It happened in Chile. And that shook a lot. But the deadliest quake ever recorded happened in China in the year 1556. January 23rd, 1556. It was recorded at approximately, now get this number, 830,000 people lost their lives. 830,000 people lost their lives in just one quake. Of the top 10 earthquakes that hit the U.S., 8 of them were in Alaska. And the 9th hit the New Madrid, Missouri in 1818. Now, why am I talking about all these earthquakes? Yes, there's going to be earthquakes. But you know what? It runs down to the heart of America, the New Madrid Fault. The New Madrid earthquakes were the biggest earthquakes in American history. They occurred in the central Mississippi Valley, but the quake was felt as far away as New York City, Boston, Montreal, and Washington, D.C. In fact, history records that President James Madison and his wife Dolly felt them in the White House. Church bells rang in Boston. It was the longest earthquake to rock America. It is said to have had 2,000 quakes from December 1811 to February 1812 from that fault line. The Mississippi actually ran backwards for a while. Sand boils appeared and crevices opened up all over the place that likely swallowed people. Light flashes came from the ground, and those were caused by quartz that was being crushed. And then it was even said that an island even sank into the river. The town of New Madrid, Missouri, was totally destroyed, with untold numbers killed. Officially, it was only recorded that 100 were killed. However, the number is so likely far much higher. Here's another account. 30 miles south in the river town that is now called Cathersville, Missouri, all 20 houses were destroyed, and the surrounding land was rendered almost unrecognizable. The ground rolled in several high foot waves until they burst, hurling up geysers of water, sand, and a charcoal-like substance. Giant fissures swallowed up buildings along with everyone inside of the buildings. Some land rose, another land sank to become inundated with water as rivers changed their course to fill in the hollows. Huge chunks of riverbank collapsed into the Mississippi, and the island rose, blocking the current from running downstream. And fisheries opened up in the riverbed, and the banks collapsed. The water was forced to run backward or upstream until the temporary island was washed away. Why didn't you ever hear about this? Well, it happened long ago. But see, that happened in America, and can you imagine seeing all of that happen before your eyes? It's not really mentioned a lot nowadays because during the 1800s, that part of the United States was very sparsely populated. But there was a population, and the accounts were true. Look at Scripture and read what people are going to say about this earthquake that happens. Revelation chapter 6, verse 14. The sky receded as a scroll, and when it was rolled up, every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the rocks and mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" We've had earthquakes in history. All the earthquakes that we've ever had have just been a warm-up to this earthquake. You know, what would make people want to die and declare that God is bringing his wrath on us? It says the world will say that because it's so very obvious when that seal is broken. God will pour out his pent-up wrath upon the people of this earth for all of their disobedience. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 and 6 says this, "But because of your hard-heartedness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath. When God's righteous judgment is revealed, he will repay each one according to his works." And then 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 10 says this, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whatever we who are awake or asleep, we will live together with him." You know, God never wants people to go and witness his wrath. God is a very patient God. And why hasn't this already happened? Because people are storing up his wrath upon them. They just keep stacking it up and keep stacking it up. And God keeps holding back and he keeps holding back. But one day, that's all going to break forth. And he's going to poured upon the people that are left on this earth because they were disobedient. They were unrepentant. They never changed and never accepted him. And it says, this is what you would get. And everybody who receives his wrath would deserve it because they themselves stored it up for themselves. Well, what must we do? Well, we need to back up a little bit in Thessalonians and read. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 8 says, so then we must not sleep like the rest, but we must stay awake and be serious. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, we must be serious and put on the armor of faith and love on our chests and put on our helmet of the hope of salvation. In other words, we must get saved if we're not saved. And we who are saved, we must be serious knowing that the time is drawing near. Let's go a little bit further. There is still hope. God is a merciful God, and there is none like him. All along history, as well as in the future, 2 Peter 3:9 says this. Now listen to this. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He doesn't want anybody to perish. So even in the midst of the tribulation, he's going to allow for people to come to faith. He's going to give a reprieve. He's going to give a chance for them to come. The following verses are important, especially to combat the false theology and doctrine. There are groups that say that only 144,000 people will be saved. But that is a gross misinterpretation of Scripture. What do I mean by that? Let's jump into chapter 7 of Revelation. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Folks, you must study the Scripture. You must know what it says, because anybody can come around and give you something that sounds good and it sounds right, but if you don't know what it is, you get deceived. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. After these things, what's after these things? After he saw all of these events, after he saw all the multitude of people who accepted Jesus as a Savior through the tribulation, he saw them up in heaven. After these things, Revelation chapter 7, 1 through 3. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. The wind should not blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the tree. So we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Who are these 144,000? Some have incorrectly said that, well, those are the people who will be saved and during the tribulation. Or some have said those are the people who are already saved, and the rest of us are just left to try to get saved. Now, that's not what that means. It actually says it'll be of the 12 tribes, 12,000 from each tribe. Now we're equal to 144,000 that would be saved. These 144,000 would be Jewish missionaries because they're saved. They're brought out of each tribe. They're Jewish. And they would go out all over the world to the tribulation, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many, many will come to salvation. Revelation 7, 9 through 10 says this. After these, I looked, and this is after describing how many of each tribe will become Jewish evangelists, Jewish missionaries. It says this, after these, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, all of these nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now, who are these people and where did they come for? We know where the 144,000 are. But the Scripture says these people now that he's talking about is a number that no one can number. There are so many of them. And it says, and Revelation chapter 14, 17 says this. And I said to him, sir, you know. And so he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and are washed with their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The tribulation will be so intense. There's going to be scorching heat. There's going to be tribulation like the world had never ever seen. And then in the great tribulation, because a tribulation, if you study your scriptures, is going to last 7 years. So halfway through that, the great tribulation happens. Now, these four things that we already have witnessed, the death, the Antichrist, the wars, the famine, and the death. Oh, these are just the beginnings. Because if you read your scripture, in the great tribulation, there's another earthquake. And that one really shakes things up. There's going to be more things fall out of the sky. And that's really going to destroy things. And then there's going to be so much death and destruction. But God, looking at these who come from the great tribulation. See, right here, John is kind of looking forward. He's seen a glimpse of toward the end. All of these people wrote dressed in white because they went through the tribulation. They're going to be there and they're going to be praising God. And what the scripture says, that God himself will wipe the tears from their eyes. They will not feel the heat. They will not feel the sun striking them. They won't hunger anymore. They're going to go through so much horror. So much devastation, so much of persecution upon them for just claiming that they know Jesus. See, during the tribulation, God is going to put a seal upon these people. And see, we read with that these four angels are holding back the winds, right? They're holding back a certain part of God's wrath because that seal hasn't been broken yet. But oh boy, when you break into the seventh seal, things really start to cook up. It was so bad that God makes a point that he reassures those who are in heaven from making it through that they will never, ever, ever, ever have to go through that again. Beloved, what about you? You think you've been through some trials? Yes, you've been through some trials. You think you've had it bad down here in persecution, but you haven't had it yet. Those who have faced persecution for their Christian faith in other countries, it was really bad for them. But yet there is still a restraint. If you've heard what's happened to Christians in other countries, you realize it's horrible. Some of the things that we face here is nothing compared to what these will face. Because they will shed their own blood. Some have said, well, they shed their own blood for salvation. No, your blood can't save you. But there is a price that they will pay deeply during the tribulation. Folks, I don't want to be here for those earthquakes. I don't want to be here for those stars that fall out of the sky, out of heaven. I don't want to be here for all the disaster and the devastation. Can you imagine being a person who has left here in the tribulation and they've witnessed all of these things and they see entire cities destroyed? And no communication goes in and no communication comes out. Because the wrath of God is so very great. And folks, this is just a warm up to what will come. This morning, I don't know what you have faced. I don't know what you have did. But God in his grace, he is calling out to you. He says, would you please accept the gift I've given you? Why is God so mad at these people? Why is he pouring out his wrath? If I had to give up my son for anybody. If they gave their blood, they spilt their blood for someone else. And that person was to be stiff-necked and I don't care what your son did. I'm going to do what I want to do. I would be angry. Jesus Christ gave his life up for you. And all he asks is that you accept. You know, I've had more than one. I've had many people ask me. I want to make sure I'm not here for that tribulation. In fact, that's why I came forward and accepted Jesus Christ. I remember the preacher preaching, and he was telling us about all the things that we're going to have. And I'm telling you, I'm only in the sixth chapter. I haven't even got to the other chapters. And I hear all of these things, and I felt so deeply convicted, and I said, I will not face all of that. I accept you, Jesus. It is so simple. How do you know? How do you know that you're not going to face that? You say, forgive me of my sins, Jesus. I take what you have given, what you have done, and I claim that. I want to serve you. Because I'm telling you what, if I was God, and my one and only son gave his life for me, for you, and you went, I don't care, I'll be angry. You know, there's, we got a lot of patriotism in our country. And I dare say, especially in the churches. We have a freedom that only came because people died for it. Amen? We have a freedom that allows us to do certain things because we have, there are people in other countries who don't even know, only wish that they can have the freedom that we enjoy. Yet there are people in our country that could care less about it. They want to go and be like other countries. They want to do the things that other people want, so you can be in bondage too. But yet, even in our own families, Jesus provides freedom. But yet, so many people turn to things that gives them bondage. You know, when I came to faith in Jesus, I can sing this. He has saved me from death. He has broken my chains. He has given me a joy in my life that I can't explain. Knowing that I'm free. And that when He comes and calls us home, you know, Thessalonians says that the graves will burst first. They are come out of there first. And then we who are left will rise and meet them in the air. And this is all going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. I'm going to be there. I shared with my Sunday school this morning, I've always wanted to fly. All right? I want to fly. And if I have my way, I'm going to fly one day. Don't tell Julie. Okay? I'm going to get controls of a plane and I'm going to fly. But even if I don't, I'm going to fly, amen? I'm going to be with the pilot, Jesus Christ. He's going to go, I wouldn't need a plane. I'm going to be there with Him. And then I'm going to see everybody who's gone before us, amen? And I'm going to be up in heaven proclaiming His name and going, what is He going to do? Next Sunday, we'll talk about the seal that Jesus breaks. And Scripture says that for a half hour, there was silence in heaven. Why? Because everybody knows what's coming. Everybody knows that this was bad, what we've seen so far. And there's nothing to compare. From what you heard, do you want to be down here? Do you want your loved ones to be down here? If anything, it should give you an unction. It should give you a bothering sensation that you want to live a life as holy as you can. That you want to share the gospel with everybody that you know. To say, please turn. And there'll be many who say, no, don't talk to me. And the strongest testimony you can have is to live your life. I'll end with this. I'll give you an example for myself, because what, I'm your preacher, right? I'm not a perfect man. But I was talking to my wife. I have a cousin. I love my cousin. I call him Brother Mark. I call him, you're my brother and you're my cousin. Okay? And he's a hairstylist, you know, he's a barber, and he's opened up his own business, and he just, you got to see the videos of this. I mean, if you've never been to a barber like this, you'll want to go. And when we went down there last time, he gave my two oldest and me a haircut. He took a lot of time with us. He really spent a lot of, I mean, this is high quality stuff. In fact, he took this, once he cut, you know, gave me a haircut, he took a machine, put it on his hand, and he turned it on, and it felt like a massage all over my head. I mean, it felt something good. And I told him that, recently spoke with him, I said, hey, it's about that time, we all need some haircuts. He said, oh, come on down. And it's an 8-hour drive down there. I said, come on down. He said, let me know when you're coming. He said, I'll reserve spot for you and your boys. I said, I'm paying you this time. He said, oh, no, you're not. I said, oh, yes, I am. See, he has his own business, and he works really hard, and I want to pay him for his work. But he refuses. He says, no, you're not paying. No, you're not paying. And Julie and I were talking about it, and I start to wonder why. Why won't he let me pay? Well, see, a couple years ago, he called me. See, I went down there and visited. Mark was not serving the Lord then. I remember I sat down with him at Grandma's house and finally got some FaceTime with him. And he went and got some delicious Puerto Rican bread. If you've never had it, you don't know what you're missing. He brought it, and he brought some other stuff, and we were going to sit down and talk and have a good time. And then he brought 2 cervezas. I don't know if you know what that means. That is beer. And he brought it, and he laid that one in front of me, and he said, here you go. And I went, I don't drink. And he said, I'm sorry, thank you, but I won't drink that. He says, oh, okay. I said, I just dedicate to the Lord. I'm not going to do that. Okay, that's fine. And so we had a good time and we talked. It wasn't but a few weeks later he called me. He said, Brian, I've got some questions. And he started asking me about Jesus. And God put some people in his life to speak the word of life into him. See, I didn't speak the gospel to him when I was down there. I just lived it. Amen. I just lived it before him. And then when he called, and it wasn't a few weeks after that, he called me and said, Brian, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. My wife has accepted Jesus as her Savior. My child has accepted Jesus as her Savior. Thank you for talking to me. Why doesn't Mark want me to pay? Is his way of paying me back? Folks, in heaven, you're going to have loved ones because of your testimony. And they're going to say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to live it before me. The greatest witness you will ever have is your life. And there are many people who say, well, I can't serve Jesus. My testimony is ruined for what I've done. Oh, no. See, God has all this worked out. He can use you, radically change you, and you will shine brighter than ever. And then there are those who accepted Jesus at an early age. They never did all of this stuff. Your shine's just as bright. Don't ever accept the lie that you don't have a good testimony, because you do. Live the life. Be serious, for knowing that the time is coming at hand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask Jesus that we live the life. Lord, that we would study your word. Lord, that we would give up things that you've been calling us to give up, but we've been stubborn. But God, help us not to store up wrath. Help us to lead other people to Jesus Christ. But Lord, most of all, is anybody here that has never accepted you as Savior? They're thinking about what is to come and they're worried. They're not sure today is the day that they need to make sure. It is so simple that all they have to do is accept you and serve you. That's so simple that so many people are going to miss it, that they're going to be left behind, and it'll likely be too late for them. God, I pray, Jesus, that nobody here today in the sound of this voice would be those that would be left behind. God, make us strong. Make us faithful. God, help us to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning, you need to get things right. Hey, it's so simple. Just ask. Just ask him, and he said, I'll do it. Just ask.
In number 535.